And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is renegades. Each of my guests is discussing a renegade idea or concept. My first guest is both a doctor and an attorney. He was once overweight. He now fights to curb the affliction through renegade means. We discussed taxing overweight people as a way to change their behavior. My second guest is a journalist who's worked for both Time and Newsweek magazines. He's written a book about one of the most colorful characters in World War II history. We discussed his latest book, Wild Bill Donovan. My next guest is a Ventura County resident who risked everything to stand up for his personal convictions. We'll talk to the whistleblower who alerted the world to countrywide malfeasance and now who's paying the price for doing what he thinks is right. If you want to join in the conversation or if you want to speak to Michael Winston, my guest, you can always call us at 639-0008. Michael Winston, as I said, is a former executive at Countrywide Financial Corporation. He was awarded $3.8 million in damages as a result of a wrongful termination suit against Countrywide. Winston spent 3 years in a legal battle against Countrywide, the once mighty mortgage giant right here in Ventura County, and its now current owner, Bank of America, contending that he was punished and even pushed out for not towing the company line. Winston joined Countrywide originally in May of 2005 when the lender was at the top of the mortgage world. He was hired as an executive vice president in a leadership development area to help Countrywide grow even bigger and groom better managers. His boss, he recalled, told him that the lender wanted to become the Goldman Sachs of the Pacific. Soon after, he was promoted to the managing director of the enterprise and chief leadership officer, and that's where the story begins. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you for being a guest here. I mean, truly, your story is a David versus Goliath story, and it happened right here in our own backyard. So tell us the story. How did you end up going to court to sue Countrywide Financial Corporation?
Well, I ended up going to court because I had engaged in Countrywide actually was a renegade. You said the theme of this show is renegade.
It is.
Countrywide was a renegade, but not in a great sense. It just was a renegade. They had grown very quickly and were still on a growth trajectory that had them touting that they would have 100,000 employees by the year 2010. Obviously, they have no employees by the year 2010, but it was almost as though they had forgotten to read the rule book. Insignificant things like Sarbanes-Oxley, insignificant things like you're supposed to return value to your shareholders, and human resource practices that were from just earlier times and a company that was less sophisticated than this company, which had grown to almost $27 billion, should have been. So, making a very long story very short, there were a total of five activities that I believed were in violation of public policy, which basically is kind of a nice way of saying against the law,
right,
that were engaged in, and also against the best interest of shareholders, against the best interest of employees, that I complained about and continued complaining about it until essentially I was first marginalized, then they sort of waged war against me by retaliating almost on a daily basis. So my headcount went from just under 200 to 2. My bonuses went from generous to non-existent. The funding for my programs went from very supportive to not at all.
So, in other words, it was a systematic way of taking not only power and authority away from you, but truly marginalizing you in your role.
Oh, I was uninvited to meetings at which I was supposed to serve as chair. Yeah, I was not given critical information that I was expected to have and know about. And the interesting thing, Bill, is that this was kind of done publicly, almost as if to say to the workforce, hey, look, we have a sort of a high-powered managing director here who hails from the likes of Merrill Lynch, Motorola, McDonnell Douglas, Lockheed. Look what happens to him if, you know, he steps out of line. You better watch out because the same and worse might happen to you.
So you were really made an example of. We're talking to Michael Winston, everybody, who was a whistleblower at Countrywide Financial. Michael, I guess one of the first things that immediately would come to mind is if all of these terrible things are happening to you in your career, the company was trying to get you to leave voluntarily rather than fire you. Why didn't you just leave? Why did you, buckle up and decide to confront them on the five activities that you thought were malfeasance?
Well, actually, the jury concluded that they were, in fact, malfeasant. But it was a complicated story. When I was recruited to Countrywide, I was not in California. I was on the East Coast. And it was sort of in the aftermath of 9/11. I worked for Merrill Lynch. I was 100 yards away from the action.
Wow.
I'm a single parent. My two children begged me, and in fact, my daughter said, Dad, just let's get as far away from here as possible. So I'd always been pretty actively recruited, and, once the West Coast came knocking, that's about as far away from Lower Manhattan as possible. So I came. But as soon as I arrived at Countrywide, I saw that there were so many holes, that there was such a delta between the state of the art and the state of their practice, and we needed to get up to speed very quickly. So I basically turned to my tried and true resources, people who had been with me through several companies, and I hired all these people who had known me, asked them to uproot their families, relocate, and come to work with me again at this new place. So it wasn't such a simple thing to just be miffed that the company was not as advertised, because all of these folks had uprooted their entire families to come and support me. We had a total of, I'm not sure if it was 7 or 8 people who had, you know, spouses, kids, jobs, and given the impact that we'd had at Motorola, Merrill Lynch, and elsewhere, they wanted to sort of recreate that same success. So they came. So it wasn't just as easy as extricating myself.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's a very clear explanation. We're talking to Michael Winston, everybody. So now here you are. You're in the middle of this situation, and yet you go to court. You win in court. Today, however, you continue to pay the price for your actions against Countrywide Financial. Describe in some of the ways that this is still a lingering issue for you.
Well, it's funny how, first of all, I was fighting Countrywide legally, formally, for 3 years, a little more than 3 years, but actually since the middle of 2006, when we found ourselves in a building that was clearly toxic. People were complaining. People were getting sick. People were being taken out of there to the emergency room of local hospitals. People who had been healthy their whole lives were all of a sudden given first-time diagnoses of having asthma or worse. And Countrywide's intent was to sort of either gloss it over. What they first did was deny it, and then concealed it. And obviously, you can't do that. There are people in those buildings, and so when the building residents saw that was their stance, not only were they getting sick each time they went in the building, but now they were fearful of getting in the building. And it was only when I had been told by the building supervisor that they did an investigation. They found there was nothing wrong. In fact, the air inside the building was better than the air outside the building, is what we had been told by the building manager. And he basically told me, Michael, don't make trouble. Don't make waves. We consider this a closed case. Probably a one-off incident. Well, you don't get 24 people who file incident reports, take themselves or are taken to an emergency room in a hospital, and have lingering residual effects weeks later. If it's, you know, you don't just, well, okay, it's probably a one-off. Okay, I'll put my head in the sand and forget about it, because they were still getting sick and they were frightened as heck. And so it really started for me. I mean, there's a lot of buzz around when the problem started. Did they start when I complained about these no income, no asset, no job loans? It started some then, but really when I went outside, I was more concerned about the health and safety of the workers than I was actually of my own career, and I called Cal OSHA and said, you better get over here. There's something wrong with this building. And, it's been difficult ever since. So your question was, in what ways difficult? Well, I went from having being referenced year after year as one of the top 50 global business thought leaders, and in a very competitive runoff, and by a number of big magazines, Business Week, Leadership Excellence, Leader to Leader, etc., to not being able to find a job.
That is a dramatic turn of events. Well, we're talking to Michael Winston. Michael, care to speculate why Angela Mozzillo and other senior Countrywide executives have not been charged or tried for corporate crimes?
Money, power, influence.
Well, but looking back to the 1980s, when we had the savings and loan bust, all of those senior executives had money, power, and influence as well, and yet over 127 of them were brought to trial and convicted and did jail time.
Yeah, I don't know. Former Countrywide colleagues of mine and I raise the same question almost daily. So, there are a few things we do know. That the Friends of Angelo program had a lot of constituents. These were high-level politicos who got off-market loans and special treatment by Mr. Mozzillo. And many of them are still around and still in very influential places. And, also it's been opined that given the state of the world, we have fewer resources. More resources are devoted to terror, and that's certainly understandable, than they are to white-collar crime. However, if you don't nip this in the bud, and one could argue it's no longer even nippable in the bud, but, the whole mantra of crime doesn't pay, that you and I were brought, nice guys finish first, the smart guy gets the best job. All of that is being turned upside down in its head because people know what went on here, and they're waiting. This is not my expression, no conviction, no real correction. I read it in the Times somewhere, and it's been repeated in almost every, through every form of media. There needs to be consequence for bad behavior, and thus far the consequences have been few, if any. I mean, I sort of won my lawsuit, but it hasn't affected adversely any of the people I went up against. However, I did it because I was tired of seeing these people able to architect settlements. I was expected to and did participate in mandatory settlement hearings. And I tried to explain to them that no matter how much you guys come up with, and they came up with a significant amount of money, this was not about that. This was about being held accountable for, look, there are tens of millions of people around the globe whose lives were adversely affected by their business practices. Homeowners, business people, elderly people who have 401k, who had their 401k amounts decimated as a result of this kind of malfeasance,
yeah.
And tens of thousands of employees who are no longer, who no longer can get work because of the taint of association with Countrywide.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Michael. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.